In John, the 10th chapter, in verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There are several important points that we can look at or learn from just from the statement that Jesus makes in that one verse. But for sure, we understand that He is our shepherd, that we, as His disciples, as Christians, belong to Him and are His sheep. And Jesus, our shepherd, has a voice that He speaks to us with. And we need to remember and think about the things that our Lord has taught us about our shepherd's voice that we need to listen to. And the first point that we want to consider is the reason why we are to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ as our shepherd. And that is because He speaks the words that His Father gave to Him. Now, in the same 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, in verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Now, when Jesus is describing Himself and His role as our shepherd, and He is the good shepherd, but it is tied directly to Jesus' work in the fact that He was doing the Father's work and that He belongs to the Father and that the Father was in Him and that the Father knows Christ as Christ knows the Father. And so that the relationship between the Father and the Son is the basis of our relationship as sheep under Christ, who is our shepherd. And as such, that connects directly to His voice as our shepherd, because Jesus is speaking His Father's words. Whenever we hear the voice of the shepherd, we're hearing the very voice of the words of our Heavenly Father. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, when Jesus was functioning in His role as the shepherd here in this passage, as He was beholding the children of Israel and saw the people as sheep without a shepherd, and as He is taking on the role of the shepherd here, we see how it is intricately linked with His work of a teacher. In Mark 6:34, He says, "Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things." So Jesus, functioning as a shepherd, He's teaching us. And so the shepherd's voice is teaching us, and He's teaching us the words of His Father. John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 34. And this is what John the Baptist, the one who prepared the people for Christ, had to say about Christ. He said, "For He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." So He was calling His disciples to follow Christ. That was His job. As He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He said that in verse 30. And as He was turning His disciples to follow Christ, then He was letting them know, you need to follow Him because He's speaking God's words. That's why we follow Him as our shepherd. And when we hear His voice, we are hearing the very words of God. Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So He told His disciples on this occasion they needed to listen to His voice because His words were spirit and they were life. Peter the apostle understood this, and when he, so many others were leaving and forsaking Christ at that time and walking no more with Him, as it says in verse 66, Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And Peter recognized the voice of the shepherd, that it was God's voice, His words, and those were the words of eternal life. In chapter 7, as we really are making a quick tour or survey through the Gospel of John on this particular point, and seeing the emphasis over and over in this very book here in John about the fact that Jesus only spoke His Father's words, and why that is why we need to hear His voice, our shepherd's voice. John 7:16 through 18, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." And Jesus was not seeking his own glory, which is the case with those who are going to speak of themselves and speak their own words. They're seeking their own glory, not the glory of God. Well, Jesus was only seeking to glorify his Father in everything that he did. He was not speaking of himself. His doctrine was not his own, but was his Father's doctrine, his teachings. And so Jesus, as the shepherd, as he would teach them many things, as he teaches us these many things that we have in the New Testament, he's teaching us the very words of his Father. In chapter John chapter 8, verses 25 to 29, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to you, to the world, those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." When they were questioning Jesus as to who he was, he identified himself as being one who had many things to say to them, and that he was speaking to the world those things that he had heard of his Father. Now, they didn't understand that is who he was and that he was speaking about the Heavenly Father. But he went further to let them know they would see that and know that, as we all do when we consider and see what happened to Jesus when he was lifted up on the cross, and the fact that he did nothing of himself, even to that point of the death on the cross. And Jesus said again, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught me, I speak these things." So he didn't speak anything of himself. He didn't teach his own doctrine, his own wisdom at all, only what his Father gave him to teach, and that is what he spoke and taught. John chapter 12, verses 44 to 50. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day, for I have not spoken of myself. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Jesus faithfully spoke every word that his Father gave him to speak, and he would speak nothing of himself. Jesus, as God's Son, only spoke his Father's words, and that's the voice of our shepherd that we're hearing. In John chapter 14, 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." So why should we listen to him? Why should we call him our Lord and our shepherd and hear his voice and follow it fully? Because it is the Father's words. It is the very words of God that we're hearing through him. And finally, in chapter 16, verses 12 to 15, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now." Now here he was speaking to his apostles on the night that he was betrayed, his last night on the earth. He wasn't finished teaching all that the Father had given him to teach. Now he was finished with teaching the things that he had opportunity to teach directly to them while on the earth in his ministry. He was going to be departing from them as he was going to be crucified the following day. And then he would, of course, be raised from the dead on the third day. Later, he would ascend to his Father. But his time being with them on a daily basis like he had been for the previous 3 years, that time was over. But that didn't mean that Jesus was finished with all that he needed to tell them. The New Testament was not fully revealed at this point. There was much yet to come. And he was going to continue to teach them and reveal that, but it would be by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus is referring to here in the verses that follow 12. In verse 13, he said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." So there was the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would be the one to guide the apostles into all the truth. Had all truth been revealed at this moment in time that Jesus was speaking to them? Not yet. He still had many things yet to say to them. They couldn't bear them at that moment, but they would be revealed in time and over time by the Holy Spirit, who was going to be sent to them to inspire them with those words that remained until the New Testament was completely revealed. Now, those things that the Holy Spirit would give to the apostles, it wouldn't be the apostles' own words. It would be from the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit himself wouldn't speak of himself. Everything that he would speak to the apostles, he would receive from Christ. As Jesus said, "He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine and will show it unto you." And then Jesus reminded them yet again that what Jesus had that he would give to the Holy Spirit, who would give them to the apostles, they would be the words of Christ, but it would ultimately come from the Father, as he says, "All things that the Father has are mine." So he shows the original source. It was going to, in the rest of the New Testament, everything that we have here, it came directly from the Father, through the Son, to the Holy Spirit, and then to the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. That is the way in which the New Testament was revealed and inspired. And those are the words that we have, and this is our shepherd's voice that we're listening to here in the New Testament. Now, being the fact that this is God's Word, and as we have seen in John 16, the Holy Spirit would not speak of himself, and as Jesus said about himself in John 12, Jesus wouldn't speak of himself either. Now, if deity, the Son and the Holy Spirit would only speak what came from the Father and they would not speak of themselves, here's a question: what human being has a right to speak of himself or herself and not speak faithfully only what God has revealed? If Jesus wouldn't speak of himself, how could we? And if the Holy Spirit wouldn't speak of himself, how could we? And on the other side of that, how could we listen to any other words but the very words that came from the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is the Father's Word? How could we listen to the words of man, to the wisdom of men, or to any other voice than the shepherd's voice? Well, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, describes that as a characteristic of Jesus' sheep. And this is true of any sheep. They're going to know the voice of their shepherd. They will not listen to any other voice. And they, in fact, will run from any other voice than the voice of the shepherd that they know. John 10, 1 to 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So we have to listen to the voice of our shepherd, because those are the words of God. But we are to only hear the voice of our shepherd, and any other voice, which would mean any words but God's words, we're going to not listen to. We will run from anyone who is teaching or speaking anything different than what our Lord Jesus Christ has taught. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, this is in the Old Testament, but we see the same principle being brought out here in this final verses in this passage in the book of Ecclesiastes, the final verses of the book in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 to 14. It says, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." So the Proverbs of Solomon, were they his own words? He sought acceptable words, which, as we've already seen, that can only be from one source to be acceptable, and that would be from God. And that's what he says in verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, for those of you who are still in school, I'm sure you can identify with verse 12 about the endless books that are there and the weariness of the flesh it is to study all those words. But in the context here, he's contrasting these words given by the one shepherd, by our God, with all the books that are out there in the world. And if we're going to go and seek truth from all these sources that are available to us in the world, from all these different men, I mean, when is there going to be an end to our reading of what men have to say about things? There's no end to the making of their books and to all the things that man has to say by his own wisdom. But the question is, what value is it? We can weary our flesh and we can destroy our souls. We're to listen to the voice of the one shepherd. They are to be our goads, what will provoke us, teach us and provoke us in doing what is good and right in serving God. And that's where he concludes things in verses 13 and 14. There's only one set of commandments that we need to obey, which is the conclusion of the whole matter. It's our whole duty to fear God and keep his commandments. So why should we concern ourselves with the endless books that men have to write and what they think about how we should live in this world? The commandments of men matter not. Of course, they will mislead us. Not only that, in the end, it's God who's going to judge us according to whether we have kept his commandments or not. So since we only have one judge, God, who's going to judge us according to whether we've kept his commandments, then whose voice should we listen to? We should only listen to his voice. The same principle here at the end of Ecclesiastes is exactly what Jesus was teaching there in John 10 that we read in verses 1 through 5. Well, sadly, the Israelites in the Old Testament did not take heed to those warnings, and they did listen to many other voices. They listened to others than their one shepherd, who was the Lord. And they had shepherds who misled them because they were using their own voice and not the Lord's. And so they had their shepherds were in that sense strangers themselves, and they followed them. Jeremiah 23, 1-4 says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." Well, they would listen to the good shepherd. In fact, if we were to look further, that's really a prophecy of the New Testament. At the time when the Lord's sheep would listen to the voice of the one shepherd, his son, the good shepherd. That's what we're studying about now, what we should be doing in our lives. And the Lord said that that's what his people would do in that time. And we better fulfill that by listening to our one shepherd. But Israel, during this time, they were on the verge of destruction because they had followed these shepherds who were misleading them, leading them astray, because they were not teaching them the words of God. And he goes further in this chapter into much detail about that. In verse 11, he says, "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord." These are those evil shepherds that he started the chapter by rebuking and pronouncing woe upon. In verse 12, he says, "Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You see the problem? They weren't hearing the voice of their shepherd through these evil shepherds because they were not speaking from the mouth of the Lord. They were speaking out of their own hearts. In verse 17 he says, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Now notice they're claiming, here's what God says, but had God said that? No, it was a lie. They were saying it was from God, but it was not. It was from their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. Verse 18, he says, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? And we can ask the same question today in this world. How many people are marking and hearing God's word and not listening to the words of anyone else? Who has heard his word and stood in his counsel? There's a great problem in our world today, just as there was in Israel during this time with that, as people are listening to men and they're not listening to the voice of the one shepherd, which is the very voice of the Lord himself, God's word. And so in verse 19, he says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It will fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet have they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. And so he rebukes them, and this goes on really to the end of the chapter, this rebuke of the false prophets, the profane priests and prophets in Israel who were misleading the people because they were not teaching them the word of God. The same thing, that same problem we see in our world today, is so many are speaking their own wisdom, their own words, and are not faithfully speaking God's word. But we need to listen only to God's word, and if anybody is speaking to us anything different from that, we must reject it. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God tells us how foolish the wisdom of men is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, what did God say about the wisdom of men? It's foolishness. He's made it foolish. And this is something that God has exposed for us all to see, to know the foolishness of man by his own wisdom and how man by his wisdom cannot know God. We're not going to find knowledge of God and his ways by listening to men. There's only one way to know God and to know his ways. That's by listening to God. Are we going to listen to that warning? Or are we going to be like Israel and follow those shepherds that are speaking with a different voice than our shepherd's voice? In that case, they are, by definition, strangers to the Lord, the good shepherd and his voice. And then we, as the sheep of the shepherd, should run from those voices of strangers. And Paul refused to be a strange voice in chapter 2 here in 1 Corinthians, verses 4 and 5. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, if they had listened to the wisdom of men, if that's what Paul gave them, then what would their faith be built upon or built in? What does the wisdom of men, the words of men, what kind of faith does it produce? It produces faith in the wisdom of men. It's not. We can't say, well, it doesn't produce faith of any kind. No, he said he wouldn't speak to them the wisdom of men so that their faith would not stand in the wisdom of men. That's what the wisdom of men will do. So faith in the wisdom of men is what will come by hearing the wisdom of men. In contrast, as we know in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A proper faith, a living faith in God, will only come by hearing his word. If we're listening to man's word and wisdom, we're going to have faith in the wisdom of men. And that's why Paul refused to speak those words, and why we should refuse to listen to such from anyone. And in the same second chapter of 1 Corinthians, in verses 13 and 14, he says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So what happens if we are trying to follow the voice of some other shepherd and not the one shepherd, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd? If we're listening to the voices of strangers, are we going to be able to receive the things of the Spirit of God? Now, what does man think of that? It says it's foolishness to him. And what does the world think of what God has to say? What do they think of the Bible and the teachings of it? It's foolishness to the men in this world and by their wisdom. But what is the actual fact? They may consider, and they do consider, what God has to say to be foolish, but the actual fact is what they're saying is foolish. God has made foolish the wisdom of this world, and man cannot know God by his own wisdom. So they think they're wise and that God is foolish, but they're the ones that are foolish. And we don't want to follow into foolishness by listening to the wisdom of men. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5 tells us what to do if we hear anyone speaking anything other than the very words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we're told here is exactly what Jesus told us to do in John 10, 1 to 5 that we read earlier. Flee from the voice of strangers. Well, that's exactly what he's saying here. And he's very particular about what he identifies as being the voice of a stranger. 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5, he says, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." Now, what does it take to be a voice of a stranger? To be one that we should run from? To be one that he says, withdraw yourselves from? What's the difference between withdrawing yourself from someone who's speaking in the manner that he's talking about here versus fleeing from them? It's the same thing. Withdraw yourself. Flee from them. It's the same teaching that we get in both John 10 and in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it's also the same teaching as far as identifying what a stranger's voice is. It's the voice that's not the shepherd's voice, as we saw in John 10. Well, here he's very particular about it. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the doctrine which is according to godliness." Now, what about men? And I remember a long time, many years ago, hearing someone who was identifying himself as a brother in Christ who was a missionary overseas, and he said he wrote his own books and he taught his own. He didn't use scripture. It was very evident that he enjoyed telling things in his own words and not with God's words. And he justified that and said, "Well," he said, "these people can't understand these words of the Bible." So he says, "I'm just taking those words and I'm putting it in other words so they can understand it." And so he justified his own action that way. And that's not an uncommon thing to hear people do. But as he say here, as long as somebody is, if they're taking the principles and the ideas of God's word and they're putting those same things in their own words, but it's really not any different, then you can go ahead and listen to that. Is that what he says? Or does he say, if they don't consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine that's according to godliness? How many words are to be foreign to the shepherd's words in order for it to be the voice of a shepherd, of a stranger, not the shepherd? I mean, how much different from God's word does it need to be? How about any amount that's different would be not his word? If it's not his word, it's not his word. We should only listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, his voice. And if we're going to be a teacher of God's word, a preacher of God's word, we have to only speak his word. Jesus and the Holy Spirit wouldn't speak of themselves, nor should we, but we should not listen to any other words. We should not listen to any other voice than the very voice of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. This morning is an opportunity for anybody that is here that has not yet begun to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. He gave His life for you so that you could be one of His sheep, but you must hear His voice and obey His voice in order to be one of His sheep. But it starts by recognizing Him as being God's Son and the Good Shepherd that He is, and that you're willing to then listen to His voice and obey it, starting now and continuing for the rest of your days on this earth and into eternity. And so this morning is an opportunity for you, if you've not yet done so, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in Christ before men, and to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, as we're commanded to do in obedience to the gospel of Christ. If you are a Christian, and if you have not been listening to and following the voice of the shepherd like you need to, this is an opportunity for you also to repent of that, for you to return to the shepherd and bishop of your souls and follow Him and hear His voice and obey it in every way. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, please, won't you do so right now while we stand and sing.